From the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I'm going to be preaching from verse 7 down to verse number 15. But I would like to just read while you're standing just that one verse, verse number 15. It said, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." And I want to preach today about the subject, the peril of obesity. And for those of you like simple titles, don't get fat. Amen. Don't get fat. I know this is unfair to preach this after Thanksgiving and with Christmas on the way. But this is what the Lord quickened to my mind today. Amen. I'm well qualified to speak on this subject. Amen. Don't get fat. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. I'm not, as the First Lady, on a crusade to get America thin. Amen. We're talking today about a different kind of fatness. I'm talking about spiritual laziness and spiritual laxity. Amen. I'm talking about getting fat on the blessings of God and forgetting who gave you those blessings. Going to the 7th verse is kind of where it all starts. The scripture there says, remember the days of old. I know that we live in a time when old stuff's kind of out. Amen. Especially old people, you know. There are still cultures in the world that honor the aged. And there are cultures that still understand that there's much to learn from the wisdom of the elderly. But we live in a culture that worships beauty and youth and vitality. We live in a culture that wants everything to be young and stay young. I mean, we have grannies wearing, what was it in the old days? Go-go boots, right? No more, I don't guess. We have people that, they say to me that ladies have had so many facelifts that every time they lift their eyebrows, their stockings come up. I heard of one lady, they had a little spot in her forehead and they asked her if she was Hindu. She said, no. She said, that's my belly button. She'd had a lot of facelifts. But we live in a culture that worships youth. But there's much to be said. The scripture encourages us to remember days of old. It said, consider the years of many generations and ask thy father and he will show thee, thy elders and they will tell thee. There are people now, I know that it's easy, if we're not careful, to fall into a trap as we get older and just remember the good old days in a positive light without remembering that the good old days had some things that were not so good. And it's possible as we get older to get hung up in the past and not appreciate the present and what's going on right now. So there's a danger either way. We can try to live in the past and that's a danger, or we can go so far into the future that we want to disconnect ourselves from the past. And both of those are perils. So what we want to do today is to, everybody say, remember the old days. You don't want to live there, but you do want to remember. There are certain things that you can glean from the past that will bless you in the present. Somebody said those that ignore the lessons of history. And what is history? It's the past. Those that ignore the lessons of history are doomed to repeat it. If we don't learn from what we did yesterday and the consequences, and we repeat that, the consequences will be the same. That's the definition of insanity is to repeat the same act without expecting to get a different consequence. You know what? If you drink too much, you're going to get drunk. Happens every time. And you get drunk, you're going to have a hangover. Happens every time. You see, that there are certain consequences that come with things. But it's hard for some people to ever learn that. But remember the old days. Remember some things. So God is telling Israel, a country with a great and a rich heritage. And He says, remember. Now, as a nation, America's still young. We're not even 300 years old yet. We're a very young country. And I can understand to some degree why when we tell China a culture that's thousands of years old and we tell them how to do things that they kind of like, who are you talking to? Kid? Amen. As far as, you see, there's some things that others have experienced that we as a nation have not experienced yet. And as a young person, it's good to take counsel from elders because they have been down the road, have experienced some things, have fought some of the very same battles that you're fighting right now, have gone through the same difficulties that you're passing through right now. And so, there are some things that our heritage can bring to us that are very valuable. And then the second thing that he reminds us of here is God's prerogative. I want you to understand something about God today that people sometimes forget. God is just sovereign. That means He doesn't ask anybody's permission to do anything. And neither does He owe anyone an explanation. This is God's creation. He made it. And so He can do with it whatever pleases Him. And He doesn't have to apologize if He doesn't do it the way we think He should. And so, verse 8 tells us about God's prerogative. It said to when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Isn't that interesting? He used Israel as a measuring stick for everything else. And then He said, for the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. It's interesting that God, when He chose a portion, He selected a group of people and He said, now out of everybody else, I'm going to take right here. Now why did He select them? Did He select that group because they were more beautiful than the rest? Did He select that group because they were more intelligent? Did He select that group because they were more blessed? No. Listen to the next verse. He says, and speaking of His inheritance and His lot and His portion, it said, the Lord found them in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. That's where He found them. It wasn't because they were in a mansion somewhere. They were not in a palatial and beautiful, verdant place. They were not in some kind of a paradise. He said, but when I found you, you were in a wasteland. You were in a desert place. You were in a barren place. He said, that's where I found you. Amen. Amen. God's not afraid of the desert. And God is not afraid of barrenness. And God is not afraid of emptiness. Amen. We are. We don't like barren places. I just got back from there. I'll tell you, yesterday morning when I got up, there was nothing between us and the North Pole but a barbed wire fence, and half of it was down. I mean, that wind was howling. Dust. You ever seen West Texas dust storm? I mean, a red cloud rolling in. Wind blowing cold. Blowing so hard. The door was on the... I don't know why nor who set that house up. I don't know. Well, it was me. Amen. Why I set it up facing that direction, I don't know. It's the stupidest thing. Because when you open houses facing west, and it just blows right in your face, boom, nearly knocks you down, I'm telling you. If you have not experienced that, you don't know what I'm talking about. But West Texas, it's close to barren in some ways. Now, I love it because I'm from there, but it is a... Yesterday it was howling. Driving your car, I mean, you had to drive like this, you know, to keep the car on the road. It was really blowing. But he said, that's where I found you, in a howling, empty, wasted place. Amen. And that was not... Then he said, but the good thing is he didn't leave them there. You know what's good about God? You know what bothers me about doctors, Brother Bacon? What they call themselves. They say, we practice medicine. That's the word that bothers me. Practice. And the thing is, they're practicing on me. And they're charging me for the privilege. And so they're practicing. God does not practice. God has perfected. God is not in the Band-Aid business. When God comes to you and He finds you in a situation where you're wounded and you're hurting and you're lonely, He doesn't put a Band-Aid on your situation. The Bible does not say, if any man be in Christ, he is covered with bandages. No, sir. It said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Whole things are passed away. The wounds, the hurts, the scars, the sin, all of that passes away. And he said, all things are become new. God doesn't just put a Band-Aid on your situation. He changes your situation. God doesn't just put a Band-Aid on your wounded soul, but He cleanses you and He makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. So that is, He said, I found Him in a wilderness and I didn't leave Him there. He said, but I led Him. He said, I instructed Him. He said, I guarded Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. And today, what a privilege it is to be led of the Lord. You know, life is a journey. It's a one-way journey. We don't get to go back. And you only get to live this one time. And so, it would really be good if I could follow somebody that went through this way successfully. Rather than blindly trying to find my way through life, if I could have a guide that knows what's best and where the good things and the best things are, if I could just follow Him. Even in the Bible says that we have such a one. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. The word author means He's the pioneer. He's the trailblazer. He's already walked this way. He's been through this life. And so if I follow Him and He leads me, He knows where the good things are. He knows what life is all about. He knows how it should start and how it should end. So He leads us. He instructs us. I don't know about you, but I still need some learning. Hey, amen. I'm kind of like the mama. She got a note from the teacher. The note said, "Rufus smells. Give him a bath." She wrote back to the teacher. She said, "Rufus ain't no rose. Don't smell him. Learn him." We need some learning, folks. We need some instruction. We need some education. Amen. And so God is our educator. God is our instructor. And He said, I instructed him. And then He said, I kept him. The next verse is so beautiful. Verse 11, He said, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings." There's a beautiful picture here. I think eagles are so majestic. I have several in my office. I think eagles are just awesome. I used to think that it would be good to be an eagle. Amen. Because you're protected by law. Nobody's supposed to shoot you. They live a long time. And man, they get to fly around up there just seeking out thermals. Life's cool. But I read about eagles and little eaglets when they're in the nest. And you know, that there comes a time that mama kicks them out. You know how she does that? When eagles are born, when an eagle makes a nest, she makes it out of thorns. Oh, sticky branches. But she gets soft stuff and feathers and all kinds of sweet, soft things, and she puts that in the bottom of it where she lays her little eggs. And so when little eaglets are born, it's nice and it's cozy and it's comfortable and it's soft. And mama sits on top of them and... That's why you don't get fat. You know, squash your babies. But mama's sitting on top of them, and that warmth goes out and keeps them warm. Amen. But that's not forever. They start getting big, and she says, "All right, little eaglets, it's time for you to start getting out of here." But they say, No. It's nice here. We like it. It's comfortable. You bring us food. We've got it made. We lay around the nest. You bring stuff and feed us. And boy, this is the life. I like it. Just like this. Amen. We got some of the eaglets, don't we? 25, 30, 40 years old. Still in the nest. But that's not what mama does. Mama takes all that soft stuff out of the nest. And all of a sudden there's thorns. Oh. Everywhere they get it, it's uncomfortable being in the nest. And so she says, and one morning she wakes up and she says, "Today it's time to learn to fly." And they say, "Well, we never flew before." No, they build their nest way up high. Now, they don't build their nests in low places, but in high places. And so she gets those little eaglets and she kicks them out of the nest and she says, "Fly." And they said, "I can't fly." And they start trying their little wings and after a while they fly a little bit. And then they get tired and they start falling like a rock. And they thought, "Oh no, mom's going to kill me." And about that time, mom swoops down underneath them. And she spreads out her wings and they settle on her back. And of course, they're so afraid, they take their little talons and they squeeze into the back of mama. And they literally nail themselves to her. And they break into her flesh until she bleeds. And they hold on for dear life and she takes them back to the nest. And she says, "Tomorrow, we'll try this again." And so she keeps doing that until finally they get enough strength in their wings and they can fly on their own. And they become the powerful bird of prey that eagles are. And the Lord said to Israel, he said, that's what I did for you. He said, you get too comfortable, I'll stir you up. And I instructed you, I took you up and I dropped you and I let you fly. And when you were fallen and you were weak and you couldn't do any more, I went below you and I steadied you and I carried you on my wings. And so that's the picture that he paints of his relationship with Israel, how that he taught them and how that he had provided for them. Amen. And verse number 13 said, he made them ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him, get this, to suck honey out of a rock. Now, how in the world do you get honey out of a rock? And he said, oil out of flinty rock. How do you get oil out of a rock? Well, Israel was, it has a lot of mountainous places and a lot of crevices and cracks. And it has a lot of wild bees. And those bees get into those cracks and that's where they make their honeycomb and that's where they produce the honey. And so they learned that in the rocky places, in the dry places, in the barren places, in the hard places, that's where they found the honey. Sometimes in life it's like that, isn't it? It's not always on easy street, but sometimes when you get to the hard place and the rocky place and the barren place, God provides honey there. You have a sweet experience there. You find something nourishing there. You find something strengthening there. And they said, and I was in Israel a number of years ago, and you know where they plant olive trees? Olive trees grow in rocky places, hard places. And they put their strong roots down. That's why olive trees are not beautiful and stately and straight, but they're gnarled and they're weathered because they go through dry seasons and hard seasons and they have to push down through rock. But those old roots keep reaching down in those hard places and out of that they draw some nourishment and they produce olives and from the olives the oil is produced. Amen. And some of those olive trees have been there. I don't know, I wasn't around, but they tell me that some of them date all the way back 2,000 years to the time of Christ. And they're still there. Hard place. Rocky place. Difficult situation. But because they put down some roots and they draw the nourishment that causes them to withstand everything in the elements. And God causes them to draw nourishment up through the roots and throughout the trunk and the system and out through the branches, through the leaves, and nourishment's found. Amen. I know some people like that. I know some folks that have weathered some storms. There's some right here. And you know what's beautiful? They've gone through so much, but they're still sweet. And they're still kind. And they're still gentle. Amen. They haven't become bitter. They haven't become hard. Amen. They still have a smile on their face. Even though they've been through some things. They're like these old olive trees. He said he gave them the butter of kine, that would be cows, and milk of sheep, and fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. In other words, God caused Israel to really abound. They were so blessed. The best of everything came their way. And God just blessed them. If you've ever been to Israel, you understand it's not by just nature. It's not a pleasant place. It's an arid place. It's dry. And it's totally dependent on certain rains at certain seasons. And you know who controls the rain? Not the weatherman. He gets it wrong a lot. Amen. I was working Friday and it was supposed to have been a nice clear day and it rained all day long. Miserable. And so, but God sends the rain when He wants to send the rain. Amen. And And I think sometimes God watches the weather reports in advance. And then He laughs. He says, take that, buddy. You think you're so smart? You think you got me figured out? Let's let it snow a little bit today. God's good at confounding people. Like that little girl, she was praying. Her dad was agnostic. She was praying and she said, Jesus, she said, please let it snow tomorrow. And her dad heard the prayer and he said, honey, he said, don't pray things like that. He said, you know, God, there is one. He couldn't do something like that anyway. And tried to discourage her from praying. The next morning, the first thing she did was run open the curtains and look outside. And you know what? It was snowing. And her dad walked in the room just in time to hear her say, Hattamore, Jesus, you show him. Amen. That's what I think is good. God controls it all, folks. He controls it all. If you trust Him. And so God blessed Israel so much. But then the 15th verse. It said, but Jeshurun. Jeshurun is a name that means the upright one or the righteous one. So, in a way, this is kind of sarcasm. The Lord is saying to Israel, who is supposed to be Jeshurun, who is supposed to be righteous, who is supposed to be upright. He said, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Amen. In other words, he got ready to put into work and he started kicking. You know what happens to fatted calves? They eat them. That's right. You read the Bible and it talks about the fatted calf. That's the one they put up in the stall. He doesn't have to go to work anymore. He doesn't draw the plow anymore. He doesn't have to do anything but lay around, and they feed him and they feed him and they feed him, and he just gets fatter and fatter and fatter, and life is good until one day they say he's ready for the table. Amen. What is it that, what do they call that stuff? Kobe beef. That's what they call it. Anybody ever heard of Kobe beef? They have over in Japan. And they get these cows, and supposedly they tell me they never even hardly touch the floor, but they massage them and they feed them and they feed them and they feed them and they feed them and they massage them and they get them real tender and real soft because they don't want their muscles to exercise and they don't want them to be strong. Amen. They just take it easy their whole life. And then, of course, there comes a day that he's ready and he's ripe, and so they slay him because Kobe beef is real tender because that cow never did anything its whole life. But get ready for slaughter. That's the danger of being fat. That's the danger of laying around never doing anything. Amen. Because you get soft. Amen. You're tender. I know some tender people. Everything hurts their feelings. Ooh, did I say that? Watch it, Brother Christian. That'll hurt somebody's feelings. Hello? Isn't that right? You get tender and everything. You know why people get offended so easily? Because they're selfish. What I mean by that is they're always thinking about themselves. And everything people say, they take it personal and they take it for themselves and they direct it to themselves. And if there's a way that they can construe that to be negative, they'll take a kind word and a good word and they'll wound themselves with it because they're tender. But you take somebody that's out there in the toil and the heat and the bustle and they're working and they're striving and they're busy and that's the way they live their lives, they're not easily offended because they're too busy to let anything get them down. Amen. They got to brush all that stuff off. Because I've got things to do. I've got things to accomplish. I have a life to live. I have a God to please. I have a goal to reach. And so they push and they strive. Amen. And they're strong. Don't let anything get in their way. Amen. So my advice to you today is don't get fat. because you're getting prepared for a slaughter. Amen. Now, here's the sad thing. It said, Jeshurun waxed fat, kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Now listen closely. Then, everybody say then. When he got fat, then. When the Lord gave him all these blessings I've just been describing for the last 20 minutes. He said, then he forsook the Lord. He forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. This is the danger of getting too fat. And I'm living in a country today that God has blessed beyond measure. I've had the privilege to live almost 60 years now. And when I look back, and I'm just doing what the Bible said. It said, remember the old days. Anybody here remember kind of like some of the first houses you lived in, some of the older folks? Or maybe you live in a house like that. And you go in and this whole room, there's just one plug in if you're lucky. You know why? Wasn't anything to plug in. And there was a light hanging off of a, you know, just a cord down and the light bulb screwed in there. Wasn't real pretty, but it worked. It didn't have a switch, you just pulled a little string and it came on. And the closet? Closet. That's what we called them. A little pity thing, you know, about 3 feet wide. You know why? She didn't need very much. Just put your other shirt in there, you know? Big, 700 square feet, plenty big. You can put 5 kids in a room like that. Hello? So that's the way we grew up. You drive down some of the streets over here in Athens, you see those little houses? Real people live there. They grew big families in those houses, a lot bigger than most of us have today. They did. And then along came prosperity. And we made more. What did we do with it? Did we send more missionaries? No. Did we build more churches? No. What did we do for the kingdom of God? Very little. But what did we do for ourselves? Bigger houses. Better cars. More stuff. Are we happy? No, we're just fat. We got lots of stuff. And what do we want? More of God? Not necessarily. More stuff. So what happens when God starts taking away our stuff? Oh God. I don't know if I can make it. I got to have more stuff. Hello? Amen. God, if something don't happen here, I'm gonna lose everything I've got. So what? I'm gonna lose my big house. So what? That's what happens when you live from paycheck to paycheck. Shake your head like this. Brother Grissom, that's wisdom. Thank you, sir. Amen. That's what happens when you go to the car lot and you don't say, how much is it? You say, what's the payment? Well, let's see. If we stretch it out for 10 years and then we add what you owe on your other car that you couldn't pay off. But I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. I'm talking about the danger of getting fat. Christmas is upon us. And guess what? Jesus is still the reason of the season. It's not about the fat guy in the red suit that's going to bankrupt you. I want my kids to have a great Christmas, so I've got to buy them stuff. When does that ever make a good Christmas? Does that really make a good Christmas? I don't think so. Amen. That's not what it's all about, is it? Amen. The sad thing is, of course, now we're changing the whole thing. They don't even want to call it Christmas anymore, because that means Christ Mass, or a worship of Christ. And so we got to do away with that. Amen. It's not about Him anymore. Now we want it to be about us. That's the danger of getting fat. You forget the very one that it's all about. It's like going to a birthday party and ignoring the birthday boy. It's about eating his cake and drinking his refreshments and opening his presents and enjoying yourself and forgetting all about him. That's the danger of getting fat. We can forget God. And as a matter of fact, you get to the place where you love your stuff so much that if God touches your stuff, you get mad at God. Amen. Praise God. Well, this is good preaching, Brother Grissom. Thank you for getting on this today. I really appreciate you reminding me. Amen. Hey, let's remember where we came from, folks. Let's remember that barren place. Let's remember that howling wilderness. Let's remember where the Lord found us. Let's remember what He brought us to. Let's remember when He forgave us. Let's remember when He restored us. Let's remember when He filled us with the Holy Ghost. Let's remember when He embraced us with His love, and He forgave us with His mercy, and He gave us a new heart and a glorious life. Let's not forget the Lord in all of this. Amen. Let's stand together today. Thank you for your time. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the peril of obesity is that it can cause you to forget the very one that's the cause of your blessings. The reason we have so much is all because of Him. The reason we're so blessed is because of Him. Don't forget God, and don't forget His salvation. Amen. Don't forget God, and don't forget His salvation. There are some precious people in this congregation right here that have very little, and they make very little, but they're always sharing with somebody else. When we ask for something for the church, they're always some of the very first ones to give, even though they have so little. Why is that? Because they haven't allowed God's blessings to make them fat. They don't give out of an abundance. They just give because they love. I learned a long time ago that when it comes to giving to God and His kingdom, you can do what you want to do. If you'll make up your mind, you can do what you want to do. It just matters what you want to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. It just matters what you want to do. Amen. God blesses. God provides. Let's not forget the one that blesses us. Let's not get so in love with a gift that we forget the giver. But let's always remember and always honor Him first with all things. Amen. Lord Jesus, today we are a people in an affluent society that are bountifully blessed. We have been blessed beyond our imaginations. If we could just see how so much of the world lives today, And we're so blessed. I thank you today, God, and don't ever let me forget. When I sit down today to a delicious meal, don't let me forget that there are others that don't have such an abundance. Don't let me forget, God, that I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed individual. I thank you. I appreciate everything that you've done. And I don't ever want to take this for granted. If you need something that I have, help me to always remember you gave it. And it would be my privilege to give it back to you. Help me, God, to always maintain a healthy respect for you and love for you and understanding that you are the source of blessings.